Well, we're at the beginning of another year. And as last year taught us, we've got no idea what the year might hold, both good and bad. We tend to rely on our finances, our superannuation, our employment, or a good education, our health, family members, or church friends to give us our security. And there's a certain security which does come when we have those things around us. But, as we all know, we can lose them in a very short space of time. And we probably all know people who have unexpectedly lost their marriages or their employment. The global financial crisis hit. We could get a terminal health diagnosis. Sometimes friends desert us, or we fail exams. And none of these are totally secure. But Psalm 121 gives us something strong and firm to hold on to. It reminds us how powerful and trustworthy is the God we follow and worship. And of every security, he is the only one that will never fail us. Psalm 121 is a song of ascent. There were 15 of them in the book of Psalms, and Jews would sing them as they made a pilgrimage towards the temple in Jerusalem. They would travel from all parts of the land to celebrate the three great festivals of their faith: Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. It was a going on holidays and going to worship song of praise. Now, most of the people walked to Jerusalem. For some, like Mary and Joseph, Jesus' family, it was a journey of 150 kilometres from Nazareth to Jerusalem and took easily a week each way. Now, women and young children weren't obliged to go, but men were expected to do the trip three times a year. And everybody loved travelling together in convoy with family and friends and meeting up with others along the way, and then when they got to the city of Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem was built on a mountain range, not quite as high as our Blue Mountains. And the road from the north ended with a climb from Jericho, which is 270 metres below sea level, to Jerusalem, which is 750 metres above sea level. So the difference is approximately 1,000 metres. And then as they were travelling, as they reached the Mount of Olives, the city of Jerusalem came into view. And the temple, with its shining sandstone walls, was visible to the pilgrim travellers. Jews were justifiably proud of its beauty and believed that it symbolised God's presence on earth, even though he was not ever thought of a God just in the temple, because he was not a God confined to one place. But there they worshipped the Lord their God. Their non-Jewish neighbours believed that the gods lived up on mountains, and so they climbed up on mountains to pray, because they felt closer to their gods there. And I remember climbing to the top of a mountain at Petra in Jordan, which was one of Israel's next-door neighbours, and there were ruins at the top of this mountain of an ancient temple and an altar to the Nabataean god, whose name means God of the Mountain. Now, you will all know the story of Elijah and the 450 prophets of Baal, plus 400 prophets of Asherah, who assembled on Mount Carmel to see whether the God would answer by fire. No doubt the mountain was chosen by the Baal followers because they were believed there they would be closer to the gods and it would be easier to get Baal's attention. Mountains are places which speak to us of strength and stability. So when the psalmist looks up to the mountains, he looks beyond the neighbours' mountain gods to the Lord whose strength made the mountains and made the whole universe. Strength and stability is found in him alone. And he says our help comes from the maker of heaven and earth, the one who is greater than the mountains, greater than the temple, and he created everything in the universe. And he is our helper. Our help comes from the Lord. The Hebrew word for helper contains the idea of strength, but it also includes the idea of someone who saves or rescues. He's a person who comes alongside us in all our life and in our problems and is with us to save, rescue, and strengthen us. Now, some people think that a helper is on a lower level than the person being helped. They're just alongside them. And they interpret Genesis 2, where God gave Eve to Adam as his helper, that she was therefore not as important as Adam. But this passage turns that idea on its head. Here is the Lord our helper, and he's certainly never on a lower level to us. Secondly, God is our protector. Six times in this psalm, we are told that God watches us, or he's our keeper, or our bodyguard. He will not let your foot be moved. He will not let your foot slip. Now, this was very important for travellers walking many kilometres towards Jerusalem. God protected them from the dangers of their travels. And with him, we are on solid ground. He's our helper. He's our protector. I remember a few years ago, I took my 90-plus-year-old mother and her sister on a little holiday up to the Blue Mountains. They were both unsteady on their feet. And when we arrived home, they thanked me for a lovely holiday. And I replied, I'm just so grateful that I got you both home without falling over. In a small way, I was their protector. I anticipated where the problems would be and ensured that they would be supported so they didn't fall. You know, God does that for us all the time. His strong arm is there for us to hold. He watches over you. He will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Now, I looked up the difference in Hebrew between slumber or sleep, because to me they were sort of almost the same. But slumber means to be drowsy, you know, to be nodding off, not quite paying attention. Sleep means to be truly asleep. Whichever one it is, God is always alert. He watches over us 24/7. There's no time when he's not aware of where we are, what we are doing. Day or night, he's there. It's interesting that the prophets of Baal in Elijah's day thought that Baal might have gone to sleep. And Elijah taunted them, asking them to shout louder in case he needed waking up. The Canaanites also believed that during the months when vegetation dried off, they thought their fertility gods went off duty and slept for a few months. By this picture, obviously Hindus believe that their gods go to sleep, and they'll often ring a bell to get their god's attention. Our God is never distracted. He never dozes off, and we can pray to him at any time. So we don't have to lie awake at night worrying. God's there watching over us always. He doesn't sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Shade provides protection from burning sun. And at your right hand, that's the position of honour. God's not subservient to us, but he's right there. He watches over us as Almighty, powerful God. He will not harm you by day or by night. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. He protects us from all the dangers we meet day or night. In days before electricity, there were many fearful things that happened at night. And another psalm, which I've just found recently, is Psalm 91, verse 6, in which it encourages us, don't fear the pestilence or the plague. We could put the word pandemic in there, that stalks in the darkness or that destroys at midday. COVID-19 is not the first pandemic in this world, nor will it be the last, and we're not to live in fear. Nothing will happen to us outside God's permissive will. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't take every precaution against catching the virus, but if we do, we still know that God is there with us, even in the sickness. So he's our helper, he's our protector, and thirdly, the Lord will watch over our life forever. He will keep us from all harm. Our body and soul are in his care, covered by him. Now, God doesn't promise no problems. He's with us in them. And I can remember when my husband was dying, the 23rd Psalm came alive to me, and as I thought of fearing no evil as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it wasn't that you don't go through the valley of the shadow of death, but it's the fear that can so often take us. And God took that fear from both me and my husband as he walked through that valley. God doesn't cushion us against life. He strengthens us to face it. And Romans 8 tells us that whatever happens to us, he will work together for good. For our good and for the good of his kingdom. He's for us, not against us. Evil won't win. Nothing can thwart God's purposes in our lives. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. God knows every time you walk out of your door or go in your car through your garage door. And he knows every time you return. Orthodox Jews have a little box called a mezuzah on the door frame of their front door. And in it are written the words from verse 5 about God watching over you and verse 8 that the Lord will watch over you. And they touch it before they leave home and when they come back. And it reminds them every day that God is with them. And it too reminds us that wherever we go, in every aspect of daily life, whatever changes in life we go through, he watches over us both now and forevermore. Jesus' parting words to his disciples were, "Remember, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." He's committed to us forever. I've recently been on a holiday to Port Macquarie, and it reminded me of an incident when I was a young teacher in a three-teacher school near Coffs Harbour and returning from Sydney after the school holidays. Before doing a long trip, I always pray for God's protection, and I did this time. I was on my own, travelling through winding mountain and forest roads around Bulahdelah. In those days, the Pacific Highway was only one lane going each way, and I began to sense some problem with my steering, and I found somewhere safe to stop beside the road. So I got out and examined the front wheels of my car, and they seemed okay. Got back in the car, but as I was slowly driving off, I noticed my front mudguard went up and down. I knew then that I had a problem with my front right-hand driver's tyre. Now, when I got my licence, my father made me learn to change a tyre before I was allowed to use his car. So I got everything out of the boot, ready to change a tyre. A very kind motorist stopped and helped me. And then, with the spare on and my faulty tyre in the boot, I set off again. 10 minutes down the road, my tyre exploded in the boot. I was that close to a blowout. If it had still been on my car, I expect that my car would have been turned over, especially the front tyre, maybe down the mountainside or into opposite traffic. I may not have been here today. I immediately thanked God that He was watching over me. God does that. He is our helper. He is our protector forever. He's not a good luck charm to prevent anything bad happening, but His strength and saving grace is with us within the difficulties of life. And we must deliberately take our eyes off our problems and focus on Him. We can depend on Him to be with us and provide all the resources we need to meet life's difficulties head on. Nothing happens outside His will and His providential care. So we will trust in His unfailing love and care in 2021 and beyond, and we will never be afraid. Now, I thought to finish, we'll read the psalm again, but I've noticed two things about the psalm. The first two verses are in the first person, I and my, but verses 3-8 are in the second person, they're you. So in the first two verses, we're going to affirm our faith and our trust in God as we read the words. But in the second part, in verses 3-8, I want you to look at one another and encourage one another here today in their faith. Not only do we affirm ours, but we also need to encourage one another. And those who are at home, if you're with others, then please look towards the others with you. And if you're alone, maybe you've got a photo there of someone in your family or a friend that you can encourage them, and maybe later actually put that encouragement into words with them. So let's read this together. Ready? I lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade upon your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Let me pray.